A few weeks ago, we were having a staff meeting, and Doug Gordon said he'd just done an interview with Michael Nesmith. And the guys around the table were like, who? And I said, Michael Nesmith from the Monkees?
Are you kidding?
Hey, hey, we are the Monkees. You know we love to please. A manufactured image with no philosophies.
Okay, for those of you not old enough to remember, the Monkees were this smart, funny, adorable pop group in the early 60s. They had this zany TV show. I was a six-year-old super fan. I watched their show every week, and I still remember all their names. There was Davy, the really cute one with the British accent, the one everybody had a crush on. Mickey, the second cutest. Peter, the quiet one with the blonde page boy. And Michael Nesmith, the one in the green stocking cap. Okay, so the Monkees faded out sometime when I was in third grade, but Michael Nesmith turns out to have had a really interesting second and third and, I don't know, now fourth career. He sort of invented country rock and the music video. He wrote two novels. He worked in film, TV, and virtual reality. And after all that, he's come out with a memoir called Infinite Tuesday, an autobiographical riff. And lucky for you and me, Doug Gordon sat down to talk with him.
So, Michael, one of several things that I think you invented, or at least helped to invent, is country rock. And one of the great examples of the pioneering country rock that you created is a song called Listen to the Band. Can you tell me about this song?
Well, I can try. I mean, Listen to the Band came out of a studio. I wanted to go into the studio before the Monkees was over, right at the end of it. I called Felton Jarvis, who was a producer. He was Elvis's producer, but I called him up. I'd known him. I said, I'd like to bring a band into the studio. Can you put something together? What he put together was the Muscle Shoals bass that had just started to play and was completely rearranging the way people thought about R&B and that deep South gospel-driven music that Aretha sang and so forth. So I was late one day going into the studio, and when I walked in the door, these guys had been just jamming and riffing and doing stuff on their own. They said, okay, well, here you are. You're late. We're really good. But I just heard them play. These were session cats that were playing at the top of the form. So I played them Listen to the Band, and they started playing to it in a way that was very far outside country music. It was very far inside rock and roll. Mm-hmm. It had opened up some of the same windows and doors that the big power players were opening up. The drummers and the bass player and Briggs on the piano and everything locked it down into this R&B slow tramping march of the Spartans.
Listen to the band.
It laid into a groove that I'd never heard before. Never heard anything before like it.
Oh, mercy, woman, plays a song and no one listens. I need help, I'm falling again. Play the drum a little bit louder. Tell them they can live without her if they only listen to the band.
One of the things you invented, quote-unquote, invented in, I think it's fair to say, well, I'll let you respond, was MTV, music television. Can you tell me how you did that?
Well, no, I don't, because I really didn't invent it. I was there at the birth of it.
Okay.
And it started with the music video. I'd been asked by Chris Blackwell, who was the owner, and I think he may still be, of Island Records, when I delivered Rio to them to distribute, if I would be willing to make a clip for Rio that he could use to promote the record around the European continent. It would get played on television that way. Well, I didn't know what he was talking about, so I had to go and do some research. Well, there weren't hardly any out there, but the ones that were out there were people standing up in front of a microphone and singing. That would drive record sales. But I didn't have anything like that in my idea about how I would do one. I thought, well, I want it to look like an old-time movie. We went into the edit bay. We said, okay, let's just start putting pictures on this thing. So we put one picture, and we added another picture to it. And after about the sixth or seventh picture, a very curious thing started to happen. The music took over the narrative. The music was the continuity.
I'm hearing the light from the window. I'm seeing the sound of the sea. My feet have gone loose from their moorings. I'm feeling quite wonderfully free. And I think I will travel to Rio, using the music for flight. There's nothing I know of in Rio, but it's something to do with the night. It's only a...
And the images fit that continuity in a way I had never seen. Once it was finished, Bill and I looked at each other and said, "This is extraordinary. I don't know what this is." And Bill says, "I don't either, but I'm moving out from Detroit." And when I got back, I started showing it around, and everyone would say, "This is unbelievable. What is this?" I said, "Well, it's a way to present music in the age of video. It's a music video."
Yeah.
And nobody had heard that word. Nobody knew, had any idea what it was. And I was driving home, and this is what I mean by I did not invent MTV, because I'm not sure anybody invents anything anyway, but be that as it may, I'm driving home, I'm going down the road, and I think, if I've got a music video, what is the player for that? And just as clear as a bell, I said, with television, you know, a television is to the music video what radio is to the record. And I thought, yes, that's it.
Reno.
I always figured it was a billion-dollar idea, but I was really grateful to have been part of the early days of it. It was a great ride, but I didn't invent it.
I think it's fair to say you're one of the founding fathers.
Yeah, that I'll take that.
Yeah, okay, good.
Do I get a three-pointed hat?
Yeah, you do. I'll work on that. A three-pointed hat and a tote bag. We'll get you that.
Okay.
Your mother, Betty Nesmith Graham, invented liquid paper, and you, of course, have led a very creative and innovative life. So how much of your creativity and imagination do you think comes from your mother?
Well, none of it. I don't know that we get that from other individuals or other people. I think we get it from divine life and divine intelligence. I think it's given to us in equal measure, and that we have also given to us in equal measure the power to do something with it.
Your mother practiced the religion Christian Science, and at one point she encouraged you to listen to a leading Christian Science teacher, a guy named Paul Seeley, go to hear him speak, and you did that. What did you think of Seeley?
When she was going through some very difficult troubles with her company, Liquid Paper Company, she went to talk to this man, Paul Seeley, and she said, "I've really found somebody that's exceptional, and I think you would enjoy talking to him." And I said, "You know, Ma, I'm just not really down with this. I don't think this is something I want to do." She said, "Well, this I think you'll find extraordinary and exceptional, and will you do it just for me?" And so I said, "Yeah, I'll do it just for you." When I met him, I started to get a glimpse into the higher mind, into higher consciousness, into what it meant to think with a truly extraordinary and divine intelligence, to have a sense of infinity that I didn't have, and the ability to practice and explain it and to live it in one's life and to teach it. So it was mind-altering. Now, you'll hear the same story from anybody who's searching for a teacher, anybody who's looking for their guru. Just as a indication of the way he was thinking, he said to me, "The one thing you want to watch out for is a sense of personality. And personality is not a real thing. It does not provide anything. So let it go." And I thought, well, I think I can do this. I'm not sure what he means by personality, but I am now. I understand what he was talking about with that.
What was he talking about?
He was talking about a personal sense. He was talking about a sense of an ego inside a body that has all of these entitlements and that has all of these ideas that steer it around, and that's not true thinking and it's not true intelligence. That divine intelligence comes from divine life and divine truth. And that's a truth that, if we know, sets us free. And of course, that's what I was looking for. How do I get out of this mess? If that rings true, if you see what I mean.
I do know what you mean, yeah. Last year, the Monkees released this album called Good Times. It was produced by Adam Schlesinger from the band Fountains of Wayne and featured songs written by Rivers Cuomo of Weezer and Andy Partridge of XTC. I think it was one of the best albums of the year. And one of the highlights is a song called I Know What I Know, which you co-wrote with Adam Schlesinger, right?
No, I wrote it by myself.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then I heard that darn internet, it lies. And then you got to do something about that, Michael.
Or are you just figuring that out?
No, but I mean, this is yet another example. I got busted. So yeah. That's what I thought. You just wrote it. But anyway, I think it's one of your most beautiful vocal performances ever.
Oh, thanks.
Can you tell me a bit about this song?
Well, it was just a song I wrote. I wrote, you know, like I write songs. I sit around and write. I had a divorce about 7 years ago that was just extremely painful for me. And, you know, it was a way to get a lamentation into a song that wasn't morose, that it had more of an uptick to it. So I found myself thinking not just about the fact that I'd lost a marriage, but thinking that it pointed me to realizing my need for a divine presence and my need for God. And that's what the song is basically about.
I know what I know, and what I know is I know nothing without you. I know what I see, and what I see is I see nothing without you. Alone I am, with waiting heart. Alone I am, a world apart. I know what I know, I see what I see. I love what I love, it's you that I love.
That's Michael Nesmith with I Know What I Know from the Monkees album Good Times. Nesmith's new memoir is called Infinite Tuesday, and that was Doug Gordon talking with him.